A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about laser tape measures, the kind you point at a wall, press a button, and get a number. Specifically, how they work in practice, what you actually need to spend to get something reliable, whether to buy a combined unit with an inclinometer or keep those separate, and crucially, whether any of these tools let you annotate measurements for a proper digital workflow. He mentions interior designers and renovation-minded renters as the use case, which honestly covers a lot of ground.
It does, and I love this question because the Humble Tape Measure is probably the single most used tool in any interior designer's kit, but it's also the most error-prone. You misread a steel tape by 2 millimeters and your custom sofa doesn't fit through the door. That's not hypothetical. I've seen it happen. The laser measurement market has genuinely matured. We're now at a point where sub-$100 units offer accuracy specs that rival professional tools from 5 years ago. But the trade-offs are not obvious from looking at a product page.
Right, and that's the tension. Everyone who measures rooms regularly has had that moment of standing there with a steel tape, trying to hold the end against one wall while squinting at the other end, and thinking, there has to be a better way. It's just not as straightforward as the marketing suggests.
Let's back up and ask the fundamental question. How does a laser actually measure distance? And why should you care about the difference between time of flight and phase shift? Because that difference is where the price gap lives.
Which is the kind of sentence that makes me glad you're here, Herman.
I contain multitudes, corn, mostly of measurement physics. So there are two main technologies inside these things. The first is time of flight, or 2F. The unit fires a laser pulse at your target surface, and a sensor measures exactly how long it takes for that pulse to bounce back. Light travels at about 300 million meters per second, so we're talking picoseconds of travel time. The unit does the math. Distance equals speed of light times time, divided by 2 since it's a round trip, and gives you a number. It's straightforward, the components are relatively cheap, and you get accuracy around plus or minus 1 to 2 millimeters at ranges under 30 meters.
That's the $40 Bosch GLM-20 sitting on the shelf at the hardware store.
Now the second method is phase shift. Instead of firing a single pulse and timing the return, the laser modulates its amplitude at a known frequency. Think of it as a continuous beam with a pattern encoded in it. When the reflected light comes back, the unit measures how much the phase of that modulation has shifted. That phase shift corresponds to the distance traveled, and because you're measuring a continuous signal rather than timing a single pulse, you can achieve much higher precision. Phase shift units typically hit plus or minus 1 millimeter at ranges up to 100 meters or more.
2F is basically a stopwatch, and phase shift is more like comparing two waveforms and measuring how far they've drifted apart.
Phase shift requires more complex optics and much more sophisticated signal processing, which is why those units start around $150 to $200. The Leica Disto D2, which came out in 2020 and is still widely sold, uses phase shift and delivers plus or minus 1 millimeter accuracy with a built-in inclinometer at 0.3 degrees and Bluetooth 5.0. Compare that to a $40 2F unit that gives you plus or minus 2 millimeters and no connectivity at all.
We're talking about a 1 millimeter accuracy difference for 5 times the price, which sounds like diminishing returns until you remember that 2 millimeters here and 2 millimeters there across a room adds up, and suddenly your custom cabinetry doesn't meet in the corner.
That's before we even get to the dirty secret of laser measures. They measure distance to the nearest solid surface, not the surface you think you're measuring. If there's a door frame 3 centimeters in front of your target wall, the laser hits that frame and reports the shorter distance. You get a reading that's wrong by 3 centimeters and you might not even realize it.
Which is how you end up with a custom sectional that's 20 centimeters too short, because the laser kept catching the windowsill instead of the far wall.
And this is where features like smart targeting or crosshair viewfinders come in. Some higher-end units have an optical sight, literally a little window you look through to see exactly where the laser dot is landing. The Bosch GLM50-27CG has a color display with a built-in camera that overlays measurement points on a live image. You can literally see on the screen that you're hitting the wall, not the picture frame. The Leica Disto X4 stores up to 50 measurements with text tags entered via a numeric keypad, which is slow but functional. The really clever implementation is Bluetooth-connected apps that show a live camera feed from your phone paired with the laser measure, so you're verifying your target on a screen that's actually readable.
The camera isn't a gimmick. It's solving a real failure mode where the tool gives you a confident-looking number that's quietly wrong.
Confidently wrong is the most dangerous kind of wrong, and there's another factor here that most people never think about, the laser class. Consumer laser measures are almost all class 2, which means the output power is under 1 milliwatt. That's safe for accidental eye exposure. Your blink reflex is fast enough to protect you, but some professional units are class 3R, which is 1 to 5 milliwatts. The higher power gives you better visibility in bright daylight, which matters if you're measuring exterior walls or working on a construction site. But it also means you need basic eye safety discipline. Don't point it at people. Don't stare into the beam. Most users don't know their laser's class or why it matters for outdoor use.
I'm guessing the class 3R units also cost more.
And the higher power doesn't improve accuracy. It only improves visibility. So if you're mostly measuring indoors, class 2 is fine. If you're a contractor doing exterior work in full sun, the 3R might justify its premium.
Let me ask about something that's been nagging at me. Why do these things fail on shiny or dark surfaces? I've seen it happen. You point at a glossy kitchen tile and the reading jumps around or just gives you an error.
Two different physics problems. Shiny surfaces cause specular reflection. The laser beam hits the glossy tile and scatters in all directions rather than bouncing straight back to the sensor. The return signal is too weak and too diffuse for the unit to get a clean reading. Dark surfaces absorb more of the laser's energy, especially if it's an infrared laser. Less light comes back, so the signal-to-noise ratio drops. Interestingly, red lasers at 635 nanometers are more visible to the human eye, which makes targeting easier, but infrared lasers at 905 nanometers often perform better on dark surfaces because the sensor is specifically tuned to that wavelength and the absorption characteristics of common dark materials are different in the infrared range.
The laser you can't see might actually give you a better reading on that charcoal wall,
which is counterintuitive and the kind of thing you'd never know from reading the box.
Alright, let's talk about the inclinometer question, because this is where the combined versus separate decision gets interesting. Daniel specifically asked whether to buy a combined laser measure with a built-in inclinometer or keep them as separate tools.
The answer depends entirely on what you mean by checking walls for level. Here's the core number you need to know. The inclinometer in a typical laser measure uses a MEMS accelerometer, micro-electromechanical system, and it typically offers plus or minus half a degree accuracy at best. A dedicated digital inclinometer, like a Bosch GAM 220 or an eye-gauging angle finder, can achieve plus or minus 0.1 degree with proper calibration. Now, a half degree error over a standard ceiling height of 2.4 meters translates to a 21 millimeter deviation from true vertical.
21 millimeters. That's nearly an inch.
It's absolutely enough to notice. If you're installing kitchen cabinets or tiling a backsplash, a 21 millimeter lean over the height of a wall is going to look wrong, and it's going to cause problems when you try to fit things together. But if you're a renter who just wants to know if a wall is roughly plumb before mounting a TV, the built-in inclinometer on a $100 to $150 laser measure is perfectly sufficient.
The built-in inclinometer is for rough checks, and the separate tool is for when precision matters.
And there's another subtlety. Most built-in inclinometers only measure absolute level. They tell you whether something is horizontal or vertical relative to gravity. A dedicated digital inclinometer can often measure relative angles too, so you can answer questions like, is this wall 90 degrees to the floor, or what's the angle between these two meeting walls? That's really useful in older buildings where nothing is square and you need to know exactly how far off things are before you start cutting materials.
The combined unit saves pocket space and you only have to manage one set of batteries. But the inclinometer is lower accuracy and usually can't be calibrated independently. If the inclinometer drifts out of calibration on a combined unit, you're stuck. With separate tools, you can recalibrate the inclinometer or replace it without touching the laser measure.
A decent dedicated digital inclinometer is $30 to $50. It's not a massive additional investment. The Bosch GAM 220 is around $45 and gives you 0.1 degree accuracy with a backlit display and an audible tone when you hit level. For anyone doing tile work, cabinet installation, or any situation where a 2 cm deviation over 2.4 meters is unacceptable, separate tools are the right call.
That's a clear verdict on the inclinometer question. Buy separate if you need precision. Combined is fine for rough checks. Now let's get to what I think is the most interesting part of the prompt, the digital workflow question. Can these things actually replace your notebook and camera?
This is where the market has transformed in the last few years. Most laser measures with Bluetooth pair to a companion app, Leica has DistoPlan, Bosch has MeasureOn, Milwaukee has Tick. These apps let you take measurements and tag them with text notes, photos, or voice memos. But here's the thing. The implementation varies wildly, and for interior designers who need to share measurements with contractors or feed them into CID software, the export format is the deciding factor.
You might buy a perfectly good laser measure, only to discover that its app exports to some proprietary format that nothing else can read.
The Leica DistoPlan app is the gold standard here. You take measurements on site, and the app automatically generates a scaled two-dimensional floor plan with room labels, door and window placements, and your notes. You can export that as DXF, which imports directly into AutoCAD or SketchUp. That's the workflow that saves real time. The Bosch MeasureOn app does something similar, but exports as PDF or CSV, great for client presentations or spreadsheets, but less useful if you're feeding data into CAD.
The device is only as good as the data you can extract from it.
That's the thesis of this whole episode, really. Let me walk through a concrete case. An interior designer measures a kitchen for custom cabinetry. She uses a Leica Disto X4 with the Plan app, takes 40 measurements, labels each with a voice memo, something like upper cabinet left wall to center of sink, and exports the DXF to her CAD software. Total time on site, 20 minutes. Without the digital workflow, she'd photograph each measurement with her phone, write notes by hand in a notebook, then go back to the office and re-enter everything into CID manually. That's 90 minutes easy, and there's a transcription error risk every time she copies a number.
We're talking about saving over an hour per project. For a professional who does this multiple times a week, that pays for the tool in the first month.
And the voice memo feature is the unsung hero here. The Leica Disto X4 stores up to 50 measurements with text tags, but you enter those tags through a numeric keypad on the device. It's like typing a text message on a flip phone from 2005. Painful for anything longer than a couple of characters. The Bosch GLM50-27CG lets you add voice memos through the app, and those sync back to the device. For rapid fieldwork, speaking your annotation is orders of magnitude faster than typing it.
Voice memos tied to measurements. That's the feature I didn't know I needed.
It's transformative once you've used it. And this connects to the point of reference feature that Daniel asked about. Higher end units let you store measurements with user-defined labels directly on the device. The Bosch with the color display and camera overlay shows you exactly which measurement point you're looking at. So when you're reviewing later, you're not squinting at a list of numbers trying to remember which one was the distance to the window.
Let me push on something. You mentioned the camera overlay on the Bosch unit. How does that compare to units that don't have a camera, but use the inclinometer for smart horizontal mode, where the device compensates for hand tilt?
The Leica Disto D2 doesn't have a camera, but it has a smart horizontal mode that uses the built-in inclinometer to automatically compensate for any tilt in how you're holding the device. So if you're trying to measure the horizontal distance across a room, but your hand isn't perfectly level, the unit does the trigonometry to give you the true horizontal distance. The Bosch with the camera overlay takes a different approach. It shows you visually that you're hitting the right spot, which is better depends on whether you trust the inclinometer compensation or prefer visual confirmation. I lean toward visual confirmation because it eliminates the ambiguity, but both approaches work.
It's the difference between trusting the math and trusting your eyes.
In a field where a wrong measurement costs real money, I'd rather have both if possible. The $400 plus units, like the Hilti PDI, give you a digital viewfinder camera and multi-surface measurement modes. They can handle the glossy tile and the dark wall we were talking about earlier. But that's serious contractor money.
Which brings us to the price to performance curve. Where do the diminishing returns actually kick in?
Let me map it out. At $40, you get a basic TOEF unit like the Bosch GLM-20. Plus or minus 2 millimeters, no inclinometer, no Bluetooth, range around 20 meters. It'll measure a room, but you're writing the numbers down by hand and you have no way to verify what you're hitting. At $100 to $150, you're in the sweet spot for most interior designers and serious DIYers. That gets you a phase shift unit with plus or minus 1 millimeter accuracy, a basic inclinometer for rough level checks, Bluetooth with app support, and a range of 50 meters or more. The Leica Disto D2 and the Bosch GLM50-27CG both sit in this bracket.
The Bosch gives you the camera overlay at that price.
The Bosch GLM50-27CG does, yes. That color display with the measurement point overlay at around $130 is impressive. The Leica Disto D2 at a similar price trades the camera for Leica's optics and the smart horizontal mode. Both are solid choices with different philosophies.
Above $200?
That's where you're paying for the digital viewfinder camera, multi-surface measurement modes, IP54 or IP65 dust and water resistance, and Li-ion rechargeable batteries instead of AA. Professional units like the Hilti PDI or the Leica Disto X4 sit in the $300 to $500 range. These are tools for people who measure all day, every day, often in dusty renovation sites or in full sun. The IP rating alone might justify the premium if you're working in those conditions. The laser aperture on cheaper units is exposed, and a single drop of water or a bit of drywall dust can ruin your measurement accuracy.
I assume there's a middle ground where you buy the $150 unit and spend $10 on a silicone protective boot.
That's exactly what I'd recommend for most people. A $10 silicone boot saves a $100 tool. The cheaper units also use two double A batteries and get around 5,000 measurements per set. Professional units use rechargeable Li-ion and get maybe 500 to 1,000 measurements per charge. That sounds worse until you remember that the pro units are doing more processing, driving brighter displays, and maintaining Bluetooth connections constantly. And you're not buying batteries.
There's a battery management trade-off too. Disposable batteries last longer per set, but rechargeable is more convenient if you're using the tool daily.
The environmental angle, which I know matters to some of our listeners, 5,000 measurements on two double, as is actually remarkably efficient.
Let's talk about something you mentioned in passing, the IP rating. What do those numbers actually mean for someone measuring rooms?
IP54 means the unit is protected against dust ingress that would interfere with operation and against splashing water from any direction. It's not waterproof. You can't drop it in a bucket, but it'll survive a dusty renovation site or light rain. IP65 is dust-tight and protected against water jets. If you're a contractor measuring in partially finished buildings with exposed drywall dust everywhere, IP54 is the minimum I'd consider. For an interior designer measuring finished spaces, it matters less.
The laser aperture we mentioned. On cheaper units, it's just exposed. Dust on the aperture lens scatters the beam and degrades accuracy.
And you might not even notice the accuracy degrading. It's not like the unit gives you an error message. It just gradually gets worse until one day your measurements are off by 5 millimeters and you don't know why.
Which is the measurement equivalent of boiling a frog?
A very expensive frog made of custom cabinetry.
We've covered how the technology works, where it fails, the inclinometer question, the digital workflow, and the price curve. Let's get into those failure modes more systematically.
The big three are surface reflectivity, ambient light, and target ambiguity. We've touched on reflectivity. Glossy surfaces scatter the beam, dark surfaces absorb it. Ambient light is the one that catches people off guard. If you're measuring in direct sunlight, the sensor is getting flooded with infrared from the sun, and the return signal from your laser gets lost in the noise. This is why outdoor measurements in bright conditions are so much harder than indoor measurements. Higher power class 3R lasers help here, but even they struggle in full midday sun. The practical solution is to measure in shade when possible or use a target plate, a white matte surface you place against the wall that gives the laser a clean, consistent target.
A target plate, like the reflective target surveyors use with total stations.
Same principle, much lower tech. Some laser measures come with a small white plastic card for exactly this purpose. You can also use a piece of paper or a sticky note. Anything matte and light colored that gives the laser a clean return.
Target ambiguity. That's the doorframe problem.
The laser measures to the nearest solid surface. If you're trying to measure to a wall that's partially obscured by furniture, a curtain, or an architectural feature, you'll get the distance to the obstruction, not the wall. The solutions are the camera viewfinder we discussed, or the old-school method of using a target plate held against the actual surface you want to measure, so the laser has something unambiguous to hit.
I want to dig into something you mentioned earlier about the Leica DistoPlan app generating floor plans automatically. How does that actually work? You're not feeding it a blueprint. It's building a plan from your measurements.
It's clever. You start by measuring the perimeter of the room, length and width. The app creates a rectangle with those dimensions. Then you measure to doors, windows, alcoves, and the app places them on the plan based on the distances you input. You can add diagonal measurements to verify squareness, and the app adjusts the geometry accordingly. It's not doing SLAM or photogrammetry. It's not building a model from camera data. It's a measurement-driven drafting tool that automates the geometry calculations you'd otherwise do by hand.
It's more like smart graph paper than a scanner.
And that's why the accuracy of your measurements matters so much. If you feed the app a measurement that's off by 20 millimeters because your laser hit a picture frame, the floor plan will be wrong by 20 millimeters, and everything downstream of that plan will be wrong too. The app doesn't know you measured the wrong thing.
Garbage in, garbage out. But with a laser measure and a voice memo attached to each measurement, at least you can audit your data later and catch the error before it becomes a cabinet that doesn't fit.
That's the real value of the annotation workflow. It's not just about saving time, it's about creating an auditable trail. 6 months later, when the client asks why the cabinet gap is 8 millimeters instead of 5, you can pull up the original measurement with its voice note and verify what happened.
That's a level of professional hygiene that separates serious designers from hobbyists. Let me ask about the export formats more specifically. You mentioned DXF for CID, PDF for presentations, CSV for spreadsheets. Are there any apps that export to formats that work with SketchUp directly?
DXF imports into SketchUp without issues. The Leica DistoPlan app's DXF export is the most broadly compatible option I've seen. Bosch Measuron exports to PDF and CSV, which means you're manually recreating the floor plan in your CAD software. The measurements are digitized, but the geometry isn't. For a professional interior designer, that's the difference between a tool that integrates into your workflow and a tool that just makes your handwritten notes slightly neater.
If you use CID, you basically need DXF export, which narrows your app choices considerably.
And this is the kind of thing you'd never know to check before buying. You'd see Bluetooth and app support on the box and assume it'll work with your software. Then you get home and discover the app only exports to PDF.
The spec sheet says connected, but it doesn't say connected to what.
And that's why I keep coming back to workflow integration as the real deciding factor. Accuracy specs matter, build quality matters, but if the tool doesn't talk to your other tools, it's an island. And an island in a measurement workflow means manual data re-entry, which means errors and wasted time.
Let's pivot to a comparison I've been wanting to make. You mentioned the Leica Disto D2 and the Bosch GLM 50-27CG as the two standout options in the $100 to $150 range. Walk me through how they differ philosophically.
The Leica Disto D2 is the precision instrument. Phase shift ranging, plus or minus 1 millimeter, built-in inclinometer at 0.3 degrees, Bluetooth 5.0, and the smart horizontal mode that compensates for hand tilt. It's compact, it's dead simple to use, and it pairs with the DistoPlan app for the full DXF workflow. No camera, no color display, just a backlit monochrome screen and 4 buttons. It does one thing, and does it extremely well.
The minimalist approach.
The Bosch GLM 50-27CG is the feature-rich alternative. Same accuracy class, plus or minus 1.5 millimeters, but it adds that color display with the camera overlay for measurement point verification. You can literally see on the screen what you're measuring. It also supports voice memos through the Measure On app, which the Leica doesn't do at this price point. The trade-off is that the Bosch app exports to PDF and CSV, not DXF, so your CAD workflow requires manual geometry creation.
The Bosch gives you better in-the-field verification and voice annotation, but the Leica gives you better downstream integration with professional software.
That's exactly the trade-off, and which one is better depends entirely on your workflow. If you're an interior designer who needs to produce CAD drawings, the Leica's DXF export probably outweighs the Bosch's camera and voice memos. If you're a contractor who needs to verify measurements on site and share them with clients as PDEF floor plans, the Bosch might be the better fit.
For a renter who just wants to measure rooms for furniture shopping.
Honestly, either one is overkill. A $40 2F unit without Bluetooth will do the job. You're measuring a few rooms, writing down numbers, and comparing them to sofa dimensions online. You don't need a digital workflow for that. The $100 premium buys you features you'll never use.
Which is an important point. Not everyone needs the pro features. Daniel mentioned both interior designers and renovation-minded renters in the prompt, and those are very different use cases with very different requirements.
The renovation-minded renter is an interesting middle ground. You're probably measuring multiple rooms, maybe checking walls for level before mounting shelves, documenting conditions before and after. You might benefit from the Bluetooth and app support if you're tracking measurements over time or sharing them with a landlord or contractor, but you probably don't need DXF export. A $100 unit with basic app support hits that use case nicely.
Let me ask about something we haven't covered. What about measuring diagonals? With a steel tape, measuring the diagonal of a room to check for squareness requires two people or a lot of improvisation. With a laser measure, you just point and shoot.
This is one of the killer apps for laser measures. Measuring a diagonal across a 6x4 meter room solo with a steel tape is difficult. The tape sags, the end hook slips, and you're guessing whether you're actually hitting the corner. With a laser measure, you place the unit in one corner, point at the opposite corner, and press a button. That diagonal measurement tells you immediately whether the room is square. If the two diagonals differ by more than a few millimeters, your corners aren't 90 degrees, and you need to account for that in your design.
That's the kind of measurement you'd probably skip with a tape because it's too much hassle. But with a laser, it's trivial.
And skipping the diagonal check is how you end up with countertops that don't meet in the corner. The laser measure doesn't just make existing measurements faster, it enables measurements you wouldn't bother with otherwise.
Which loops back to the core value proposition. It's not just about speed, it's about measurement density, taking more measurements more accurately in less time, and actually documenting them instead of scribbling them on a scrap of drywall.
I'm stealing that phrase.
You're welcome to it. Alright, let's talk about the future for a moment. Apple's put LiDAR scanners in iPads and iPhones. There are apps now that claim to measure rooms using augmented reality. Are dedicated laser measures on borrowed time?
Not yet, and the reason is accuracy. The LiDAR scanner in an iPad Pro gives you room-scale measurements at centimeter-level accuracy, maybe half a centimeter if conditions are perfect. A dedicated phase shift laser measure gives you millimeter-level accuracy. That's a tenfold difference. For checking if a sofa fits through a doorway, AR is fine. For custom cabinetry, it's not even close. The other issue is battery life. Running a LiDAR scanner and processing point cloud data drains a phone battery fast. A dedicated laser measure sips power and runs for thousands of measurements on a pair of AA's.
We're in that awkward phase where the phone can almost do it, but not quite well enough to replace the dedicated tool.
I think that phase will last longer than people expect. Shrinking millimeter accurate laser ranging into a phone form factor is a hard physics problem, not just a software problem. The optics need a certain aperture size, the laser needs a certain power level, and the sensor needs shielding from the phone's other components. I wouldn't bet against it happening eventually, but I wouldn't hold off buying a laser measure waiting for it.
The convergence is coming, but it's not here yet.
That's the line. When your phone can measure a room with millimeter accuracy, will you still carry a dedicated laser measure? For now, the answer is yes, if precision matters.
All right, let's pull this together. We've covered a lot of ground. What should someone actually do with all this information?
Three actionable takeaways. First, for most interior designers and renovation-minded renters, the sweet spot is $100 to $150. That gets you a phase shift unit with plus or minus 1 millimeter accuracy, a basic inclinometer for rough level checks, Bluetooth, and app support. Spending more than $200 only makes sense if you need the camera viewfinder, multi-surface measurement modes, or an IP rating for dusty job sites.
Second takeaway, buy a separate digital inclinometer if you need to check walls for level with real precision. The built-in inclinometer on laser measures is a convenience feature, not a precision tool. For tile work, cabinet installation, or any situation where a 2 centimeter deviation over 2.4 meters is unacceptable, spend the extra $30 to $50 on a dedicated angle finder.
Third, before you buy any laser measure, check the companion app's export formats. If you use CID software, you need DXF export, which means Leica's DistoPlan app is your best bet. If you only need PDF floor plans for client presentations or CSV for spreadsheets, Bosch's Measuron app will do the job. The device is only as good as the data you can extract from it.
Those 3 points cover the hardware, the accessory decision, and the software compatibility. If you walk into a store with those 3 criteria, you'll make a good choice regardless of brand.
I want to emphasize that last point about software. I've seen too many people buy a perfectly good laser measure, use it for a week, and then go back to their steel tape because the digital workflow didn't actually connect to anything they use. The tool becomes a fancy number displayer instead of a productivity multiplier. That's not a failure of the hardware. It's a failure to check compatibility before buying.
It's the measurement equivalent of buying a printer that only works with one brand of computer.
A very specific and painful kind of frustration, yes.
Where does this leave the steel tape measure? Is it going the way of the slide rule?
I don't think so. Not entirely. For quick rough measurements, checking if a sofa fits through a doorway, measuring a small alcove, anything in a tight corner where you can't get a clean laser line, a $5 tape is still faster and more reliable than any laser. The tape doesn't care about ambient light, surface reflectivity, or target ambiguity. It just works. The laser measure is better for room-scale measurements, diagonals, and anything that requires documentation. They're complementary tools, not replacements.
The tape for quick checks, the laser for the measurements that matter.
The steel tape has one advantage that no laser will ever have. It works when the battery is dead.
There's a certain elegance to that. The tool that can't fail because it has no parts to fail.
Of course, it can fail in other ways. The end hook gets bent, the spring mechanism wears out, the markings fade. But you can buy a new one for $5 and be back in business immediately.
The humble tape measure. Not glamorous, but immortal.
Like the cockroach of the measurement world. In a good way.
I'm not sure there's a good way to be the cockroach of anything, but I take your point.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1940s, a chemical analysis of rocks dredged from the supposed location of the Phantom Island of Frisland, southwest of Newfoundland, revealed they were compositionally identical to basalts from the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, confirming Frisland never existed as a volcanic island, only as a cartographic ghost born from a misplotted 16th century survey.
The island was literally a paperwork error with igneous rock to prove it.
Cartography. The only field where you can disprove a landmass with a chemistry set. This has been my Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. It helps other measurement nerds find us. We're at myweirdprompts.com and on all the podcast platforms.
Take your steel tape and your laser measure. They're friends, not rivals.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro. With text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.